Good evening, and once again, welcome to another exciting session here at Ever Increasing Word Training Center under the direction of our Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. We always are so thankful for him and for the apostolic team that surrounds him to carry out the purpose and the vision of the School of Ministry. Tonight, we will be looking at chapter number 6 in your books, moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy. And we will be talking about important principles for effective prophesying. Let us begin.
The scripture confirms
that the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate in a believer through that believer's yielding and that believer's cooperation with him.
The believer cooperates with the Lord
to express what God is saying
and in the way that God wants it to be expressed.
The human vessel is called to respond
and not to react
to the Holy Spirit and to his movements during the course of a service.
But there are important principles in Scripture
that helps us to get into the operations of the gifts.
When we abide and operate by these principles
of Scripture, then we are operating in the realm of faith. All right, so that tells you something about faith right off the bat. Faith is for instruction. You know, people get all tripped up about faith, but faith is nothing mystical. You know, we live, conduct, and regulate our lives by faith. So that simply means we follow God's instructions. Go ahead.
Faith pleases God.
And faith always brings the desired result. Why? Because faith pleases God. Hebrews 11 and 6 says what? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is a what? Rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek him. In the diligent seeking of God, we're seeking God for his wisdom. We're seeking God for his understanding. We're seeking God for knowledge. You listening? And all of those things cannot come to us except God give us what? Instructions. God give us instructions, which gives us what? Direction. Okay, go ahead.
The principle of desire.
The scripture reference is 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse 1. We are commanded to desire, and we're commanded to pursue
after the gift.
After the gifts. It said gifts, but it says gifts. You listening? 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 say, follow after what?
Charity,
but rather that you what? That you desire spiritual what?
Gifts.
But rather that you may what? Prophesy. Go ahead.
The Greek word zelo
for desire or to covet
indicates
to us to strive for,
to be eager, to be enthusiastically pursuing after.
It is not a wish.
As wishes are what?
Passive in nature. Now, you know, Apostle has been talking to us about what? Active faith and passive faith. You follow what I'm saying? If we're not enthusiastically pursuing spiritual gifts, desiring to prophesy, you know, prophesying is speaking what? On the behalf of God in a what? Known tongue. You listening? But you have to desire to do that. You have to develop
The word enthusiastically means that has to do with what? The way in which you are doing it. It's not something you do casually. You know, when you're enthusiastic about something, you go after it. Isn't that right? Like that good lemon pie. Okay, go ahead. A wish has no dynamics.
Or motivation behind it.
And a wish has no motivation behind it.
God puts desires into our
hearts in order to move us into his what? Ways and into his purposes. God is an awesome God. God says he'll give us the what? Desires of our heart, right? Didn't God say that? Is that Psalm 37 and 4? Find it, because I want to show you something.
Delight thyself.
Also, Psalm 37 and 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall what?
Give
you what? God said, I'll give you the desires of your heart when you delight yourself in me. It's in delighting ourselves in God that God places in us desires that only he can fulfill. So you don't have to worry about getting out the will if you delight yourself in him. When you delight yourself in him, God say, then I will put the desire in you to perform what I want to perform on your behalf. Huh? Go ahead. Scriptural reference, Proverbs 4:23.
If we let God
deal with our hearts
and clear out the dross,
God will place his desires for us
within
our hearts.
A spiritual
passion
will propel
us and push us
in every part
of our being
forward
until it is fully satisfied.
A desire
that has been put within our hearts
by God
has all of the potential
to become
a reality
when
properly pursued.
We should desire,
notice that word,
we should desire
to prophesy
because
prophecy
ought to be the most commonly
exercised
gift
in the church.
Y'all got that?
When they were
filled with the Holy Ghost
on the day of Pentecost,
the first thing they did
was what?
Prophesy.
Go ahead.
All can learn
to all.
How many?
All. How many?
All
can learn to prophesy.
And
women should prophesy
as freely
as men.
The word covet
also comes from
another Greek word
epithemeo,
which means
it means to set
or to fix
our minds upon.
Let us have enough earnest desire
so that
we can fix our
eyes
on prophecy
with the intent
to pursue it.
In prophecy
and in all
prophesying,
we must follow
the principle
of proving.
Now, y'all know the scriptures
teach us what?
Prove
all things.
Prove
how many things?
So
when people say
you don't trust them,
they don't read
the Bible,
right?
Just trust me.
Yeah, I trust you,
but I'm gonna prove you too.
Right. I'm gonna
prove you so you
can be trusted.
Right.
How about that?
Right.
Okay.
Prophecy, as we know, is an imperfect gift
because of the imperfection of the vessel
that's prophesying.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy. We know in part, and we prophesy. Watch this. In part.
Those who desire to prophesy
must be open and they must be willing
to allow their prophecies to be judged.
This openness
provides to everyone involved a safety measure
for both the user of the gift
as well as the recipient or the hearers.
The prophetic gifts of the Holy Spirit,
they must be continuously subjected
to the written word of God, or as we discovered in our last session, the canon of Scripture.
If we judge ourselves,
we need not for anyone else to judge us.
And how do we judge ourselves?
By the canon of Scripture.
Are you listening?
There's nothing going on in God's kingdom outside of his word.
Are you listening?
His revealed word.
Go ahead.
The teachable spirit
in a user of the
prophetic gifts
will reflect humility
and openness.
To acknowledge that the final authority
is the written word.
Only the prophecy
or the canon of Scripture
is infallible.
That means incapable of error.
The principle of responsibility.
The possessor of the gift
is responsible.
The possessor of the gift is responsible for its use
or its misuse.
That means its abuse.
The key to being responsible
is to know the truth
of 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 32.
That declares,
notice this,
the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet.
The prophet and not God are responsible
for any disorderly use
of the gift.
It does not matter
how emphatically
he may protest
that he was under divine compulsion
to prophesy.
The user of the gift
is still responsible
for its proper usage.
That means you are not so out of control.
People don't like that.
As long as we can put it on the Spirit.
Well, the Spirit does all things decently and in order.
God is not the author of confusion.
He's not the author of chaos.
Are you listening?
So the Holy Spirit is not going to cause us to get off and go off track.
Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about, let no man speaking by the Holy Spirit say that Jesus is accursed.
Hello?
The one who said Jesus is accursed, right?
Huh?
Must be held accountable.
Oh, Lord. People get a little tight when you want to judge their prophecies.
Go ahead.
Number one.
In prophecy, we must use our wills properly.
At the new birth,
the spirit of man was recreated.
And likewise,
the will of man
was liberated
so that man can choose
out of his own free will
to follow after God.
The power of the human will
is
man's strongest asset. That is restored to recreated man. The scriptural references.
Romans 7.
16 through 20. That's a good one to read, but you know, take a while. We have so much to cover in these classes. But in Romans chapter 7, verses 16, you pretty much can read to the end of the chapter. But it was amazing how Paul said that after he was born again, the thing that he wanted to do, he didn't do. The things that he didn't want to do, that's what he did. What the? Now, we ain't talking about an unbeliever here.
Right.
We're not talking about a sinner. We're talking about a man who wrote over half the New Testament. He said, what I wanted to do, that's what I didn't do. What I didn't want to do, that's what I did. You know, my translation would be, what in hell wrong with me? Well, you study that passage out, you'll find out. Soul issues, mind issues. See, the law was spiritual, but a carnal man cannot keep God's spiritual law. You listening?
Yes, sir.
So the only way for us to follow the spirit of God is to have a renewed mind. Okay? All right, go ahead.
Paul grieves over his inability
to do what he desired to do
because of sin
that was working and overriding his will. Now that must be understood in the context that when you don't have control of your carnal nature, your flesh, when you don't put it to death, you listening? You allow it to rule and to reign in you, it will always cause a tug of war. Are you listening? Because you have to read Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. You listening? There's the law of the spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, that sets us free from the law of sin and death. You know, the scriptures say, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But the clarification is, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had set me free from the what? Law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, for what the law that was spiritual could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be what? Fulfilled in us, here it comes again, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. You listening?
Yes, sir.
The crucifying of the flesh can only be accomplished through the renewing of the mind. In our minds is our will, our emotions, our feelings, our desires, our conscience, subconscious, memories, and many other words we can use, desires. Go ahead, daughter.
Scriptural reference.
Philippians chapter 2. Verses 12 and 13.
Here, Paul triumphantly
declares
that it is God
who is at work in me, in us, both to will and to do of all his good pleasure. It is possible for us to do God's will, but we must submit our will to his will. That's the cross in manifestation. Not my will, but your will be done. God's will cross man's will at some point in your life. Decisions has to be made. Go ahead.
Thus every born again,
spirit-filled believer
has the power of free choice.
We can't say like Flip Wilson. Yeah, I remember back in the day, I'm telling my age, okay, I'm 65, but back in the day, Flip Wilson would say, devil made me do it. Devil ain't made you do nothing. See, I wanted to do it. I was saying, devil used me. You can use anything, devil. Uh-huh. That gets your attention, huh? Y'all singing him song, Lord, if you, yeah, I know y'all looking at Ron Canole. If you can use anything, use me. Well, the devil can do that too if you let him. That's okay. I ain't gonna get too many amens. Go ahead. Online, are you saying amen? Okay, go ahead.
It is knowing this authority
that is invested in us
that makes us responsible users
of the gifts.
Thus, in the operations of the gifts of the Spirit,
the will of man is engaged. See, there's nothing we do in the Spirit kooky. Now, even when you're following him, he might tell you to do some off-the-cuff stuff. You understand? Like kick over a flower plant. Huh? Huh? If God tell you to kick over a flower plant, that just, you know, in your natural mind, you're saying, I'm in another man's church, and God telling me kick over this beautiful flower arrangement. Now, you can get in trouble with God by not obeying him. Now, to the natural mind, that may seem kooky and out of order. You listening? But kick the flower pot. You listening? But God ain't gonna say, cuss him out. Now y'all won't get spiritual. God ain't gonna tell you cuss nobody out in church. That's your flesh. You was mad with them before they got to you. Go ahead.
Number two.
Our emotions must be disciplined.
Negative responses.
To the given word
can produce negative
emotional buildup
in the user.
This is especially so
if the user receives a word of correction
or a word of rebuke.
He must stay clear
from expressing his state of emotional unrest,
but bring forth only that
which expresses the feelings of God.
Number three,
our bodies ought to be buffeted.
Our physical body
must learn to be in total subjection
to the Holy Spirit.
We must learn to bring every distracting
physical manifestation
under control
so as not to be a hindrance
to the people.
Remember,
we must remember that gifts are given to us
for the building up of the church.
For the edifying of the church.
Every obvious spiritual manifestation
that can distract
and retard the responses
of the people
that is receiving ministry
must be brought under or into what?
Subjection.
See, Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you get over there and find it. Paul said, I keep under my body to bring it into subjection. I'm the one that keep my body. I'm the one that have to do it. Not God. Not my preacher. I'm responsible for buffeting my own body and bringing it into subjection. Go ahead.
There are some physical manifestations
to an heightened anointing
which are not obvious
like the burning sensation
of the heart
the tingling sensations
the heat of the cold waves
and the feeling of electrical waves
the anointing always comes for a divine purpose.
Do not set your mind
upon these physical manifestations
and become self-conscious. But keep your minds about the Spirit.
And let the anointing.
And allow or let the anointing.
Do the work.
Do the work.
For which it was sent through us.
For which it was sent through us to do.
The suppression or release of the gift.
The suppression or the release of the gift.
Is also left. To the responsibility.
To the responsibility.
Of the possessor.
Of the possessor.
Scriptural reference.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20.
The possessor of the gifts
must wait upon his gifting,
develop
their giftings, and bring those giftings to maturity.
D.
The principle of accountability.
The scriptures clearly teaches us
that God holds the spiritual leaders
accountable
for the spiritual health
and well-being
of their flock.
They are to
bring them to maturity
and to a new strength in the Lord.
Now, I was going to say to you, everybody want to be an apostle. Everybody want to be a prophet. Everybody want to be an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. These gifts in the church are pursued. Are you listening? Because they seem to be showpieces. They get a lot of attention. But what people do not understand or cannot comprehend is the amount of responsibility that comes with the call, the responsibility of the call. People's lives are impacted. How we respond to God. Go ahead.
Someone must stand accountable
and responsible
for everything that is said
or is done
in the church.
Y'all heard that? Everything that is what? Said and done in the church. Go ahead.
Failure to observe this principle
results in the errors that are found
in many gatherings of believers
where the gifts of the Spirit are in operation
without sufficient responsible oversight.
Now, I don't want to get too far off into this, but you see, it's good to have intercessory prayer. It's wonderful to have intercessory prayer warriors. Are you listening? But without proper training and without proper oversight, many lives get wrecked and ruined because it's easy to get off. Okay, y'all act like I'm not saying much. I've been around the church for a while. You listening? I've seen people prophesy wrong stuff to people. You listening? I've seen gifts become fault finding. There's no fault finding gifts of the Spirit. Not edification, not exhortation and comfort, but I'm a fault find. I was mad with you before I got this. So I'm going to use the Lord to tear you off. Go ahead, daughter.
Even the plants in the garden.
Operate under proper oversight
as they submit themselves
to the touches of the gardener.
He fertilizes,
he prunes, he waters
the plants
so that their beauty
and their fruitfulness
can become evident.
The plants receive from
and they submit to the ministry
of the gardener,
who is praised for the demonstrative
health
and beauty of those plants.
It is only those
that submit to authority
who are able to minister with authority.
A willingness to submit our lives,
talents,
and gifts
to spiritual leadership
will provide us with will provide us with proper checks and with proper balances.
God has set spiritual leadership within the church.
God has set proper spiritual leadership within the church.
So that they can bring the saints
to maturity.
In all aspects
of Christian life.
Acts 20:28
and Hebrews 13:17
gives
to us an exhortation
of the importance of spiritual oversight.
Of the importance of what? Spiritual oversight. Get those two passages. Acts 20:28 saying, I commend you to take heed. That's it. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, unto all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Hebrews 13:17 declares, obey them that have what? The rule over you. And do what?
Submit
yourselves. For they watch for your souls. Important word, submit yourselves. Submit is a dirty word in the church, but submission is a word that indicates maturity and strength. And you know who you are. If you're always bucking against and rebelling against authority, that means you're not submissive. That also means you're not teachable. That also means you just don't do it in the church. That means it's followed in every arena where there's authority and submission to authority. Y'all might as well say amen.
Amen.
Go ahead. For they watch over your souls as they must give an account. That they may do it with what?
Joy.
Oh, you don't want to be a burden to the man of God or the woman of God. Go ahead.
And not with grief.
For that is unprofitable for you.
Even the prophets.
According to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29.
Must be willing to have their gifts.
And their ministries
evaluated and judged
by spiritual leadership. Even the prophets. Mm-hmm. You listening?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
E.
This principle of regulation.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
Verses 27 through 33.
Lies the principle
of proper regulation
for the vocal gifts.
When properly understood,
these principles of regulation
will remove from the church setting a lot of confusion
and disorder.
The people of God
will be edified
and built up
without quenching the prophetic flow
or without quenching the spirit.
1 Corinthians 14:27-28
If any man speak in an unknown tongue,
let it be by two
or at the most by three.
And that by course,
and let one interpret.
But if there be no interpreter,
let that person keep what? Silent in the church.
And let him speak to himself
and to God.
The above scriptures
gives unto us clear guidelines
to help us regulate the flow
to help us to regulate the prophetic flow
of tongues and interpretation. There are five things.
We need to know from these verses.
That regulates
the message in tongues
and the interpretation.
Number one,
to allow only two or three individuals
to give a message in tongues
at any given meeting.
By two or at the most three.
It does not mean two or three fragments
of a message.
But two or three persons.
That means two or three persons
giving a message in tongues.
Y'all understand that? Huh? It's not parts. Like one give one part, the second one give another part, and the third one give. No. It's three individual people that have a message in tongues. You listening? They do it by course, decently and in order. You listening? But if there's no one there to interpret, all of them got to speak to themselves and to God. Go ahead.
Number two.
Each delivery of the message
in tongues
must first be interpreted
before another message
in tongues is given. So in other words, you don't move on until the first message in tongues is interpreted by the Spirit. Now, not translated. You understand? We're not talking about tongues and translation. We're talking about interpreting. See, the Spirit will give what the interpretation of the message in tongues is. You listening? Okay, so when one is completed, then the next one can go if they have a message. You listening? Then the next one can go. After that, second interpretation can go. But if there be no interpreter, you listening? Then all of them must be what? Silent and speak to God in tongues quietly to themselves. Now remember, tongues and interpretation of tongues, right? Huh? Is equivalent to what? Prophecy. Go ahead.
Number three. Each message in tongues should receive only one interpretation.
When a tongue is given,
there may be many others
who feel that they have an interpretation
for the message that's given in tongues.
Those who did not get the opportunity
to give the interpretation
should speak it out as prophecy.
Even if the first and the initial interpretation
was not complete or it was not clear,
the giving or the speaking forth of the interpretation
as inspired words of prophecy
will complete it.
Number four.
If our interpretation of the message
in tongues is similar to the one that's already given,
then we should refrain
from giving it out
as prophecy.
Number five.
If there is no one to interpret the first message
in tongues,
then all other fragments
of the message in tongues
must not be delivered.
Since there's no one what? To interpret it. So basically you would have people just going off in tongues. You listening? See? And the church is not what? Edified. Because in order for us to be edified, we must understand the message that's given. God is always speaking what? Clearly. Go ahead. 1 Corinthians 14:13.
Wherefore,
let him speaketh in an unknown tongue.
Pray that he may what?
Interpret.
The above brings the giving of the message
in tongues
to an orderly end.
Enjoy your evening. We'll see you on next week.